Welcome to the Geological Society podcast. My name's Sarah Day and I'm with Professor Neil Chapman, who has worked for over 35 years in the field of radioactive waste management. Maybe you can talk just a little bit about what it is that you do and who you work for.
Right. Well, I work around the world mainly in the area of radioactive waste management, as you say, looking at geological disposal of radioactive waste. That's burying a long-lived radioactive waste deep under the ground, hundreds of metres under the ground. This is a solution that nearly every country that has nuclear power has decided they're going to use for disposing of their radioactive waste, and nobody really has built one of these facilities yet. So I've been working around the world in Japan and Sweden and Finland and the UK, trying to find sites to do this and make sure that the sites are properly located and it's done safely.
So you said this is something we've decided to do. What were the other options on the table?
The only other option, that realistic option that's been around, is just to continue storing the waste on the surface, which is, of course...
So the do-nothing approach.
It is, exactly, and that's exactly what people have been doing and still do now, clearly, until such facilities are available. It's going to be probably another 5 or 10 years before we see any purpose-built facility for the highest activity material, that's used nuclear fuel that comes out of the reactor, and that's probably going to be in Finland or Sweden.
And you were talking more about the hazards involved in siting nuclear reactors. Is the issue of disposing of the waste treated as quite a separate hazard?
It's definitely a separate hazard. I mean, each country might have 20 or 30 nuclear reactors, but they would only ever have one geological disposal facility, probably, although some countries might find that they need two or even three as they move into the future.
So they're sort of facing the same risks with the reactors and the waste. What are some of the risks that you're looking at?
Well, I think, the hazards that are posed by nuclear reactors were made pretty evident by what happened at Fukushima in Japan, where you can get releases of radioactivity to the atmosphere, and clearly that can affect large populations, although, as we found out, the health effects from there were actually very, very small indeed. If you've got waste buried under the ground, then an event impacting a deep geological repository would be very different, and it just couldn't release activity in the same way. It might cause some damage, and it might get into deep water, and it might slowly move through the rock, but the impacts are considerably less for a geological repository.
So you took us through some of the risks, or some of the hazards that you look at, and they range from the things that we might expect, such as tsunamis, to what was it you called? Precariously hanging rocks was another one. So it sounds like there's quite a long list of things that you need to look out for.
Well, the precariously hanging rocks were not one of the hazards, although I guess they might be if you happen to be walking past them if there was an earthquake.
They looked a bit hazardous.
They were being used to try to identify whether there had been an earthquake in the past.
Oh, right,
because if you have a rock that's perched up on the edge of a cliff, if it's still there tens of thousands of years, it means it hasn't been shaken very much over that period, which probably means there hasn't been an earthquake.
I suppose it's obvious, but maybe you could sort of lay out some of the things that are the risks in tectonically active areas or seismically active areas.
Well, there's the risk of earthquakes themselves, and if we're talking about nuclear facilities on the ground, on the surface, like nuclear reactors and storage sites and things like that, the things you have to be concerned about are shaking. You can be a long way away from the source of an earthquake and still be significantly shaken around by the impact of the earthquake. So they have to be designed to accept a certain amount of acceleration of the ground underneath them. And that means that's a very well known and very well understood procedure. So there's very rarely, although there are numerous nuclear power plants that are subject to seismic shaking all the time, there's very rarely any sort of damage to them. If you go deep under the ground for a geological repository for waste and you're looking much further into the future, maybe thousands or millions of years into the future, and then you need to think about how the body of the rock reacts and whether it can shear and crack, and that can actually happen inside the disposal facility.
You had a slightly terrifying diagram of a magma chamber and...
Yes, volcanoes, yes. I mean, for some sites around the world, people have looked at a likelihood of volcanoes, a new volcano or a new magma intrusion occurring directly underneath.
So that was a hypothetical. Geological.
That was a hypothetical model, was that, yes. And the chance that a dike could be propagated up into the tunnels of the repository were being assessed. In that case, for Yucca Mountain, this was a site in the Nevada desert in the United States.
So when you look at all these numerous complicated risks that you have to assess, is there still a case for nuclear power and expanding our use of nuclear power? Because when you look at a long list like that, some people might recoil and think, let's just stop the whole thing.
Oh, no. I mean, these risks are only part of all the hazards that you have to assess when you're looking at a nuclear facility. There's all the sort of human factors as well. Designs and design accidents and things like that you have to take into account. There are very good procedures for looking at all of these. So I'm very convinced that you can do this safely. There's no doubt about that. We've put all the procedures there for handling it.
And when something like Fukushima happens, which is the last really large-scale nuclear accident that we've had, are there things that we can learn from that? Or is that just evidence of how we can never control everything?
No, there are certainly things that we can learn. I mean, nobody really was giving attention to the fact that that kind of accident could happen. The earthquake was enormous, of course. It was more than magnitude 9, and it impacted a huge area of Japan. The tsunami that came afterwards killed nearly 20,000 people. The earthquake itself had almost no impact on the nuclear reactors that were in that area. There were 11 of them that closed down automatically because of the shaking, and they were just cooled down because they had electrical supply. Fukushima, the catastrophe happened because it lost its electrical supply, lost its cooling water, and that was a result of the tsunami impacting the emergency pumps and things like that. And we should have known, because there was information available and people had done analyses, that you could get a tsunami that big. And people were just not reacting, or not reacting quickly enough, not taking it into account. The lessons that were learned really were about how to use scientific information properly and how to manage things better. I think that's the main lessons I take home there.
And it sounded like there were some really sort of staggering errors that were made, specific errors, like the something that was stored in the basement that if it had been a couple of floors up, maybe things would have been different.
Yes, it was clear when the emergency generators were located down in the basement of the building, somebody should have been thinking about their susceptibility to flooding, and I guess they did, but they were thinking about tsunamis which were only 4 metres high, not one that was 14 or 15 metres high. And it was really the scale of the tsunami that they didn't take into account. Nevertheless, I would still not have put my emergency generators in the basement.
Yeah. we've been talking about earthquake hazards, volcanoes, tsunamis. None of these sound like things that happen in Britain. Does that mean that our potential for growing our nuclear industry is a safer one?
Well, we still have to take them into account here. We do get earthquakes, and every nuclear facility in the UK actually has to have a seismic hazard analysis as part of its design. We have potential for being hit by quite large tsunamis, and there have been impacts in the last few thousand years of big tsunamis. And potentially we could be impacted by large volcanic eruptions in Iceland that could deposit ash and bring gas down that could affect all of us. It would certainly make us cough a lot. The last time this happened in 1700 had a major impact on people's health. And now, of course, the population is much bigger. We've got very sophisticated technical facilities for everything, not just nuclear. And all of those could be affected by ash fall. So, yes, we have to take these into account, certainly. And they are being taken into account.
And where are things at the moment with the UK's policy on nuclear?
Well, at the moment, we have companies who wish to build new nuclear power plants. I believe the first one is planned for Hinkley Point, and then there's plans possibly to build another one on Anglesey and over on the Suffolk coast at Sizewell. And these plans are very well advanced. And the government originally hoped to have new nuclear power plants operating by the year 2017. I think now it's somewhat further into the future. We're looking perhaps 2020, 2021 or something like that. But it's still very much there as part of our policy.
Before we finish, I've been asking everyone recently that we've been interviewing if they could nominate what their favourite geosite. We're doing a 100 geosites project at the moment online.
Okay, well, it's very hard to pick, and there are lots of things I'd like to put on there, but I'm going to vote for the Huyn Sill at Housestead's Roman Fort.
Excellent choice. It's had a few nominations already. It's up the top of the league, I think.
Great.
Well, Professor Neil Chapman, thank you so much for talking to me, and you can view the lecture online on our YouTube channel or on our website, and you can follow along at #GSLLecture. Thank you.
Thank you very much.